You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Ha cha 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 cha.
Your brain here. I like listening to Tooncast while trying to take over the world.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast episode 301. We are continuing on the Tooncast origins here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, or your hosts for this time around, DFG and Mike. And joining me for his origins in cartoon watching is Toonster Kai from Kai Dragon Media. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you doing?
I could complain, but that's too much work.
Well, at least it's Sunday, and at least maybe hopefully it's not as hot as it's been. I mean, it's still roasting here in September. God help us all.
84 degrees in September. This is a heat wave.
100 here.
Oh, Lord.
That's why my garden is all burned up.
It's either that or it's the dragon's breath, whichever comes first.
Oh, boy. I hope you have a nice sound effect for that, because I usually have a, but I'm...
Yeah. Yeah, I insert those in post. I don't do them live
because
they distract live. It's like, oh, this is a edited then released, not, you know. I'm anal retentive like that. So, yes, Kai is here. And for those that don't know, Kai Dragon Media is this up-and-coming world-building YouTube channel that streams all kinds of video games that I've never heard of half the time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'd like to expand on that further and get more into the cooking and the gardening, which gardening is seasonal. There's not much you can really do. So I have to catch it right, probably start in September. Or not September, December, when I actually start working in the garden to get it ready.
Well, you could just harvest a bunch of pumpkins right now, seeing as how, according to the entire world, as soon as September 1st hit, oh my God, it's pumpkin season. No, it's not. Stop it, people.
Pumpkins. Yeah. So, fun fact about pumpkins, you have to plant them months early.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy. Folks, this is not a gardening podcast. Not yet, anyway.
I'll make a gardener out of Mike yet.
Hey, I've been a... quote-unquote gardener my whole life. I used to throw, my grandfather used to throw ears of corn to me, in his garden. My grandpa had a, we lived in Kingston, Massachusetts. His garden was one of the best in town. So I don't have a green thumb. I don't even have a brown thumb. I don't even know what kind of thumb I have anymore. Cartoons, folks. It's all about cartoons. But like I was trying to say about your lovely YouTube channel, for those that don't know, for those who are first listening to the sound of your voice, why don't you tell people what you do over at Kai Dragon Media?
Well, at Kai Dragon Media, I do a lot of live streams with the Wrecking Crew, as I call them. It's a bunch of guys that we do a lot of shenanigans. One of them is also up-and-coming YouTuber, Captain Ruggles, who... me and him met last October. We started working together. I also cover gaming news. I also have the Dragon Slayer podcast. Well, not quite a podcast because I don't have any service to really upload it to yet. but I do have a live show where I bring in all sorts of guests. We talk about current news, pop culture, and sometimes we just have random banters about whatever in that field that we may think of. Includes Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, He-Man, everything that we lived as new as children that we enjoyed, and the evolution of games. So there's a lot I kind of cover. I like to be diverse, and I'd love to actually get to the point that I'm doing more talk shows and less gaming, but that all takes time. So,
yep. Takes time, and you got to figure out who you're going to talk with and all that good stuff and everything else. Funny thing about Captain Ruggles is he is Steve Megatron's brother. Steve Megatron and I started the Geekcast Radio Network 14 years ago, so always got to keep it in the family, I guess.
It's kind of interesting because I'm honored to be on your show, by the way. Really, truly honored.
Hey, you've had me on a couple of times, so.
Oh, yeah, you're becoming one of my reoccurring guests.
I'm pretty much the emergency guest. Like, oh crap, something came. The co-host that I'm not usually used to working with, well, surprise, surprise, flaked again. So I need somebody. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I ain't got nothing else to do.
Well, it's not more than that. I enjoy your personality.
Well, no, I
enjoy your content. And
thank you.
You are a fantastic guy, and I truly hope KeekCast Radio continues to grow, because I think you and Steve have so much fantastic input and so much to give to the communities, and I'm really grateful for working with you.
Thank you. Your $50 is in the mail. It'll be there in 7 to 10 business days.
That check better not bounce.
That's right. Check nothing. It's $51 bills like you used to get when you would, you know, be a part of a Nielsen household. Oh, my God. Whatever the quarterly was or whatever the Nielsen TV. I'm like, why did these people send me $3 $1? Like, oh, okay, cool. Free money. Yay. All right, we are here to talk about cartoons, animation, anime, however you want to classify it. And I mean, obviously, folks, we wouldn't be here if the first question wasn't obvious. Did you grow up watching cartoons, and what were some of the first what are some of your earliest cartoon memories?
The earliest cartoon memories I remember was, well, taken back, first ones I ever had was He-Man. I loved He-Man, Masters of the Universe. I just remember all the crazy stuff Skeletor would say, like, you nincompoop, or you boob, or whatever. And we'd always have He-Man beating up Skeletor, or Skeletor would get power. And, you know, eventually there'd be a two-part episode. Those are rare at the start when I was watching them. And that's probably 1985 is when I got into a lot of the cartoons, at least that I can remember it. And I remember that they always had valuable lessons at the end. So after the 20-minute show, maybe more 18 minutes after all the commercials, they always had a little slogan at the end, you know, about what you should and shouldn't do. And they always tried to instill some type of morals, which I think was really cool. That was something that old cartoons used to do, like G.I. Joe.
Yeah. I want to talk to you today about safety. Accidents don't just happen to other people, they can happen to you. But you can do some things to help prevent accidents from happening. Using a safety belt when riding in a car can save your life or prevent you from being seriously hurt. Now, I know you've been told never to play with matches, because if you do, you're playing with fire. And fire can burn your toys, your home, your family, you. So use your common sense and think about what you're doing. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Well, so, you know, you have a, like you're saying, in, you know, 14 years, we've actually covered every single, I have a podcast for you to listen to. We've covered every single episode of almost every single Masters thing ever. Almost everything. A lot of the new Netflix stuff we haven't gotten to yet, but we have all the Filmation stuff, all the new adventures. Oh, God, I'm dying. The 2002 show, and other things. But yeah, so. Yeah, the funny thing about that is, and most everyone knows this, for those 22 minutes or 18 minutes or however long they are, they had to have that there because you have 18 minutes of sword fighting or blasters or whatever, and oh my God, the whole, and I'm not getting in, I do not do politics on any of the, I try my best not to, I don't really care too much, but like the whole thing back then with Reagan and everything else and all that and whatever, so that's why the messages were, and most of the messages, most of the PSAs tied in, not all of them, but they tried their best to tie them into what happened in the episode, specifically the He-Man. If some kid that we didn't know, like Cousin Jeremy or something, and Cousin Jeremy is an actual character in that show, and I remember this because Cousin Jeremy is a complete whiny bitch. Like if he did something wrong within the episode, the PSA would say, "Hey kids, don't do what this moron did." It doesn't say it like that, but you get the point.
Yeah, it was like PG light back then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right.
I mean, when you think about that, Mike, I want to preface this a little bit more. Yeah, you're right. Back then in the days, and I, you know, reflecting on it, it became kind of a norm. But I do remember when violence in cartoons was a big deal, even like Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Think about when Roadrunner beep beep would do something to Wile E. Coyote or something. It was, or Elmer Fudd, which, you know, that changed too down the road. But yeah, not talking politics or anything, but it's weird how everything in animation from when I watched as a kid has evolved. But that's, He-Man was the one that stood out to me the most when it come to that. I mean, I collected every single toy there was known to man.
Yeah, that is so cool. What cartoons were you watching? So you mentioned He-Man, but what other cartoons were you watching the most as a kid? Were you a Saturday morning consumer, an after-school consumer, or both?
I was both. Definitely both. Since I was an only child, usually after school, between working on homework or if I didn't have homework, I was watching. I remember 3:30, I came home from school. 4 o'clock, I was ready for Transformers and watched all the Transformers from season 1 all the way to the end of season 2, 3. I think it was 3, and then they discontinued it. Then also G.I. Joe was on at 4:30. It was Fox at the time. I remember that because that was the channel that I always watched. It always had the cartoons on there. CBS and ABC didn't really have anything. So it was always and it wasn't Fox Kids at the time. It was just
Fox
cartoons. Yeah. And so those two were another ones that I watched. Transformers never had any like the PSA messages, but I remember G.I. Joe. And I remember some of the good ones with G.I. Joe, like the stop, drop, and roll and things like that after that. And they really pushed hard to teach valuable stuff on that. But those – probably that was 85, 86, 87, and 88. And then I kind of shifted around 88, 89. And that was still also during Saturday morning cartoons. Usually they'd release the new Transformer episodes and the G.I. Joe stuff on Saturday morning on Fox, or CBS did actually have Saturday morning cartoons, and I remember watching the Smurfs, Pound Puppies, and that, you keep in mind, I was a little kid back then, too. Oh, God, let's see, what other ones? The Snorks, Transformers, G.I. Joe, and then the big evolution came for me was, I think it was 88 or 89, don't quote me on that, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles debuted.
1987 is when it debuted.
87? God, yep. My dates are off. Yeah.
It's okay.
I'm so old I don't remember the dates, but yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles debuted, and 4:30 every day on Fox, I was addicted to that. And when they stopped doing new episodes, then they moved it to Saturday morning cartoons at 9 a.m. I remember that time because I was not a morning person, but I had to be up for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
I don't believe it. My mighty foot soldiers beaten by a bunch of turtles. And mutant turtles at that.
Shocking. Krang, report to me at once.
Great. Terrific. We're on the run, and that idiot wants to chit-chat.
Transformers actually did have PSAs. I just don't remember I remember seeing the G.I. Joe ones. I remember obviously seeing the He-Man ones, but I had to find it on YouTube. There's a video on YouTube that actually has a lot of them. But Transformers, it had to have. If it didn't have them, it wouldn't have aired. So
that's weird. I just don't. Yeah. Nothing stood out to me. I don't remember anything for PSAs or Transformers.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like I've said before, that the 80s was interesting because you have when He-Man started in 83, and then Transformers in 84, you had G.I. Joe and all that. You have all this stuff up to a point, and then some new stuff comes around, like TMNT, like Cops in 88, like other Adventures of the Gummy Bears and whatever else. You have the 80s, I would say, from 82 to 89, the end of the decade, you had a constant timeline of cartoons that you could watch and try to, you know, you had all that kind of stuff. And then as the 90s happened, it still, you know, it kind of transitioned into Marvel and DC and all that and everything else. But it just didn't, it was different in the 90s than it was in the 80s. In the 80s, it was just like, well, we watched this for four seasons, what's next kind of thing. Let's just move on. And whereas the 90s, it was like BTAS, XTAS, and Spider-Man and all that stuff were all kind of at once a little bit. I mean, Spider-Man was 2 years after BTAS and XTAS, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I think when I think of the evolution of that, I remember how it all shifted gears. I can't remember how many episodes there was, but I remember, I think it was, I want to say 89, but I'm probably off. Wasn't the Transformers movie out then?
No, that was 86 for the movie.
86. Yeah. God, my dates are off.
But so 84, 85 was season one, season two. 86 was the film. 87 was season three. By 88, it was gone because they just had the Rebirth three-parter for season four, and then they just kind of like rebranded, and they did it the Cybernetic Space Cube, the computer-enhanced stories of the Transformers. This is Transformers Generation 2. All it was repackaged Generation 1 episodes in CGI, like really, really early, late 80s, but early CGI effects and the cybernetic skate. It was.
Didn't you know what's crazy? I remember this stuff clear back to when I was 4 years old, because some of the stuff I don't remember watching. Okay, that's frightening. Jeez, I'm old. Okay.
we're old. So how did your cartoon watching habits change as you grew up and throughout your life?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think once Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles became the only one I was really watching, G.I. Joe and Transformers kind of fizzled out. End up watching the live actions of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, was big in Turtles, got all the toys. After that, it hit this wall. I mean, there was cartoons that I started watching in the early 90s, which was Batman, the animated series, the mm-hmm. Spider-Man, which always was at 10 a.m. on Fox on mm-hmm. Saturday. And that was right after the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so that was why I watched it. And then X-Men, which was at 10:30 on Fox. So X-Men, Spider-Man, you're right. The Marvel kind of took over at that point. Mm-hmm. And I watched a lot of those and DC. And, so I continued to watch them, but I wasn't as engaged. At 4:30, I usually was home. So I'd watch Batman, the animated series, and they had a lot of reruns on that. And always put the new stuff on Saturday morning, which was always interesting. They'd always do the reruns then, and then just anything new is always there once a week on Saturday. And once X-Men kind of fizzled out and Spider-Man fizzled out and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I couldn't find it anymore after, I think, season three or season four. It was after they had finally beat Shredder once and for all with the Technodrome and all that, and it ended. And it was before they changed the new cartoon styles.
Right, but it didn't. 87 Turtles went from 87 to 96. It has 10 seasons.
I just don't remember all the seasons. Yeah. It was the one where they finally beat Shredder.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It was, yeah, you're right, but the show lasted for 9 years. So by the time season four was out, it still had up to, I think, seven seasons, maybe. I've got the DVDs around here somewhere. I'll have to look it up.
I've been wanting to find a Blu-ray copy of all the original ones, unedited, if I ever can find them. I'm going to have to look one of these days.
I don't think there's a Blu-ray copy. I know there's a complete series DVD set that they had out.
Yeah, I'd love to revisit that stuff. But that was about the time that I'd stopped watching that. And then mostly it was timing. I think it was hard to find the scheduling because where I'm at, we had maybe 20 channels. So
okay.
If Fox, CBS didn't have it on their Saturday morning, the only really ones you had was Fox for afternoon after school. And then Cartoon Network eventually came into play, but they really didn't have a lot there. But that kind of steers into the next thing. So 90s, as a lot of that stuff started fizzling away, and I couldn't find the shows as much, like the Ninja Turtles. I think that's why I stopped watching, was I couldn't find it anymore.
Right, yeah.
And the internet really wasn't very big back then still. So Power Rangers came out. I started watching the Power Rangers. Kind of probably watched up till they went to the racing car ones, and then I kind of got bored with that. And then I evolved, as I say. Toonami came out.
Okay.
And that's when I got heavy into anime, which was Gundam Wing, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball, Rurouni Kenshin, Cowboy Bebop. There were so many of them. So then at that point, I stopped watching Saturday cartoons, and I was watching 10 o'clock every night. I was watching the anime, and then they moved some of it down to the 3:30, 4:30 slot. So Fox kind of fell off the radar at probably, I want to say 98, 99, I think. I remember I was just out of school, but I still watched cartoons. I mean, the way I looked at it, cartoons, you know, never changed no matter how old you get.
Yep.
And so I got into anime pretty heavily at that point, and everything kind of shifted off. So then it went to just Toonami that night, usually. And then Saturday, my Saturdays were always booked. I had a date with Adult Swim's Toonami. It was from like 10 o'clock till almost 2 in the morning, just different anime. Some I liked, some I didn't. I mean, I watched Inuyasha. I watched, oh, then there was G Gundam. There was Mobile Suit Gundam. And then at that, Sailor Moon was another one, and because a friend got me to watch it, and I was like, it ain't terrible for what it is. I've watched Dragon Ball Z, so I mean, it was like, well, okay, whatever. And then I shifted almost entirely out of cartoons at that point and into more anime, even though I really kind of, technically should be both, but I guess more Western cartoons and more into Japanese and Korean animations at that time.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. So how often do you go back and rewatch any of the cartoons you grew up with?
Surprisingly, more often than I thought I would. Especially once I found places like Hasbro on YouTube would still play some episodes of G.I. Joe. They don't even go through all of them. Some, I found some that did Transformers, but they didn't really play all of them. Mm-hmm. But at least it was something just to kind of fill the niche. I would still go back to watch Dragon Ball Z. I'd still watch pretty much anything that I grew up with, I would still watch. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I found a place on YouTube that was done by the company that owns
Playmates.
Playmates. And they had like 5 episodes, but they skipped so many episodes, like the birth of Bebop. But still, it was something, because I miss James Avery. He was Uncle Phil to me and the one and only Shredder. I mean,
yep.
Nobody could replace James Avery. And so just hearing his voice always was a fond memory, because I remember just growing up around him all the time, and I loved that actor and voice actor.
Yeah.
He was an all-around good guy.
I must congratulate you.
It's the same guys we fought last night.
You passed your test with flying colors.
Test? What test?
Your hairy little friend knows me as Oroku Saki. But you may call me the Shredder.
A kitchen utensil?
You would be wise to lose your flippant ways if you wish to join the Honorable Foot Clan.
Yeah, he really, really was, and I absolutely loved him as Shredder. And the funny and the crazy thing to me is, and I don't know, I haven't heard anything on any interviews or whatever else, so I have. Years ago, they put out it's still out there, but they put out a special edition of the complete DVD series of the 87 cartoon, mm-hmm. and it came, it was 23 discs, I think that's right. It came in a mock turtle van packaging.
Oh, that is cool.
And I never was able to get it back in 2021 when my late wife was sadly getting ready to, all that. I'm like, I'm pulling the trigger on this. I spent like $125 on this thing. So it's all 23 discs. It's all of the whatever. It's everything else. So I go to start watching it. And I know the first five episodes, because what's so funny about that series is the first five episodes is season one. That's it. Those very first five that they did, that's the first season. Because back then, the cartoons, like G.I. Joe has the Mass Device, which is the first five. They did these like premiere five-part episodic things back then to see, like a teaser. They would do that in like early fall, and then the rest of the cartoon wouldn't be coming out until like Christmas or something on TV or whatever mm-hmm. back then. So I remember those first five episodes like the back of my hand. I do not remember most of everything else from that show because it's been so long, and I've never gone back to really rewatch it. So I start watching it, and I'm like in the middle of season two, and it's like a Shredder and Krang episode, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's Pat Fraley as Krang. Who's in for Shredder? Because there are a couple episodes that it's not James Avery. It's actually Dorian Harewood a few times, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. It was strange when they switched it. And just, you are correct, I did find it. The original ones,
uh-huh.
all 10 seasons for yep. on Amazon right now for $58.
Oh, don't do that. I mean, DVD. Do that if you want, yeah, but I found it on Walmart for $45.99. So, I was going to send it to you after the show. So, which cartoons? So, you say you've rewatched some. Which ones from cartoons from your childhood have you rewatched as an adult? And which ones? I don't really believe in cartoons, any media holding up. I believe in the fact that it was made at the time it was made, and it's supposed to exist in that time, and you're not supposed to hold it up to today's standards, because today's standards aren't like the standards that were 40 years ago. But which cartoons have you rewatched that you feel are either still good or not so good?
Well, once in a while I can find an old He-Man. In fact, I watched the whole seasons of He-Man and She-Ra. I couldn't leave out She-Ra because they had that crossover with He-Man mm-hmm. and the Hordak, which a lot of people forget that those toys were both connected through Hordak and Skeletor and their rivalry and everything. And I thought it was pretty good. So I've still watched some of those. I think when Kevin Smith's He-Man came out, I went back to watch the original ones instead because that was the He-Man I remembered. Right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, if I could find it on like YouTube, Netflix, whatever, I'd watch it because mm-hmm. there's some fun episodes that I just absolutely still love to this day that I think highly of. Then G.I. Joe, if I can find it, I'll watch it. Same with Transformers. Mm-hmm. I liked the two-part episodes the most of Transformers. But the one that stood out to me the most on Transformers, and I remember because I still watch it off and on, is when Grimlock becomes smart. The Dinobots were my favorite.
Grimlock's new brain. Gotta love it.
That when he built that whole new
The aerial bots, Computron.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I definitely, I like that one. That one stood out the most. And that was, for me, I think that one meant the most to me. That's going to sound crazy because I was a nerd at school. I was the guy that was always in the books, history, everything. And I could relate to what it was like for Grimlock to be smart and then be shunned by the other Dinobots. And that's how I felt growing up. And I think that they've all aged well. And if I had children, I think I'd want them to be able to see what good cartoons were back then.
Yeah.
Because there is some timeless treasures. And Batman the Animated Series is a treasure.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I wasn't sure how I felt when I first saw that one, but when I get time, I once in a while will try to watch some of that again. I like the Clayface stuff was always this tragedy one. That one always hit me the most, I think.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I do visit X-Men if I'd like to watch those again if I can find them, because I loved the seasons of X-Men. It was always good. I mean, compared to the modern cartoons, you know, we've had reboots. And sorry if I'm veering off too much on this mic, okay. But the modern cartoons, I don't feel like have weighed as deep as the older cartoons. I mean, if we think about every version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, we think of every new version of G.I. Joe. We think of every, like, even the He-Mans. Granted, there was the 2000 He-Man, I believe, that it lasted several years. That one was not bad. That one was, I will give that one a pass. But for the most part, when they try to reinvent those toys, those cartoons, I feel like they've lost their legacy, they've lost their way, and they're not quite the timeless treasures that I think the 80s and 90s had. Mm-hmm. There's just something magical about that era where I feel like there was more creativity, more expression. There was no, if you've seen it, you wouldn't recognize it of political undertones. It was just, hey, I want to escape. I want to enjoy this. This is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and there was always good versus evil.
Yeah.
And but there was always a valuable lesson to that.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the 80s and 90s really held up way more.
And I mean, there are certain cartoons nowadays that I've seen that are good cartoons. But, I mean, yeah, some of them aren't so good either. I will say that I finally finished, and I mentioned this, I don't know if I mentioned this last episode or whenever. It took me the longest time to try Star Wars Clone Wars because I could never find it on Cartoon Network or wherever it was airing when it originally aired from 2005 to whenever. And it's now all on Disney Plus. Well, it took me a couple of years, but I finished that. I went into Bad Batch. I went into Rebels. And Rebels, my initial thought with that was, oh, God, I hate Ezra. Ezra is season one. Ezra is just ugh. But it gets better as the four seasons progress in Rebels. So I will say that there are some cartoons that have, and Transformers is always evolving. There's always a different iteration most of the time. So if Beast Wars is your thing, great. If Beast Machines is your thing, great. If animated Transformers animated from 2007 was what you like, great. If Transformers Prime from 2010 is your thing, great. There's a version of Transformers animation on television, streaming, whatever, for almost anyone, and they constantly change it. G.I. Joe is like, I think it's because it's the military. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, please, listeners, let me know, but I'm fairly certain because it's the military, G.I. Joe gets the raw end of the stick when it comes to animation. Like, I don't remember, like, not Sigma 6, what was the Renegades? Is there another one that came out recently? Anyway, go ahead.
I don't disagree with you on that. And I think that they had to be careful, too, because, you know, they had all sorts of life events that happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they wanted to give Cobra and those as much clout as they did anymore because of all the stuff going on in modern world. It was all supposed to be fantasy. You brought up a good point. Beast Wars was another one. I in my 20s, I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning on Fox to watch before I went to college.
Yep.
That was the other one. That Transformers, I didn't really consider that one quite the same as the Generation 1 Transformers or that Generation 2. I considered that its own standalone.
Oh, yeah, Beast Wars and Beast Machines are its own standalone, but they did tie in Generation 1 into Beast Wars because...
Which was clever.
Yeah, very clever. There have been, since 1983... six G.I. Joe animated things. There was the 83 series, the 89 series, Extreme, Sigma 6, Resolute, and Renegades. And Renegades was November 26, 2010. So it's 2023. It's been a number of years since there's been a G.I. Joe cartoon at all.
Yeah, it just fell to the wayside. It was the one that kind of just fizzled out at some point. But, I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has been rebooted a lot. I could not get into the newer stuff. After all the seasons that I did watch, which I don't think it ever felt the same to me with the later incarnations of it. Even to this day, I just like the original, and maybe I'm too old school on that, Mike, but
I get it. I was kind of like that too, but at 23 years old, trying my best and failing to go to college at the time back in 2003, it's a whole story, folks. No one wants to hear that story. I was like, I hadn't been watching cartoons for a while, and I found the 2002 He-Man cartoon. I found the 2003 Mike Young Productions 4 Kids TV Turtles, and I loved it. It was cool. It was great. It was fun. It was awesome. I will send you a link after this for that. That finally... After all these years, is finally getting a damn DVD. Hadn't been on DVD at all. It's been on, like, whatever the old CBS streaming app was. I forget what the hell it was called. It was on this. It was on that. I believe it's currently on Paramount Plus, but I could be wrong. But it's finally getting a physical media release for the complete series for the 2003 TMNT series. And I cannot wait because that is going to be so freaking cool. I never watched all of it. Because I think it is seven or nine seasons of it. I forget how long that is, but off the top of my head. But it was really good. So I would say check that out.
I'll have to check it out.
Because, yeah, so that was really cool. All right. Yeah,
like I said, the He-Man one was real. The He-Man one they did in 2002 was not bad. I did like the updated animation with it. I think they did a good job on that one. And they also added, like, the men from Snake Mountain, too, which I remember those toys. So, I mean, there is some good and bad, but I don't know. I feel like the older ones just stick the most to me.
That's fair. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite cartoon character from any cartoon? You can pick one hero and one villain.
Well... You're probably going to guess this one. My favorite villain is the Shredder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... There was always this time... The reason for them is there's always... He's always this villain that... would may seem like he's winning, and then his ego would get to him, and then he would just get crushed.
Yep.
Or it would be embarrassing and Krang would make fun of him the entire time, which I laughed at that one.
Yeah.
And then I have to give this one. Skeletor is the second one, runner-up on that one.
Okay, yep. What about the heroes?
Heroes. That's a tough one. Because there's always the heroes out there that always stand out the most. But for me, Donatello. Donatello was the Ninja Turtle that I always inspired to be. Somebody that was noble, tried to do the right thing, but was that nerd that always liked to try to help with new inventions or new ideas. And he resonated with me so much to this day that I still have the old Halloween costume that I had when I was a kid. Just because that one stood out to me the most.
Yep. Yeah, you and I talked about that off air. I had a homemade version of it with a homemade bandana, and you had the one that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Funny thing is, I was Skeletor the previous year for Halloween. So when Turtles debuted in 87, for 86 Halloween, I was Skeletor. For 87 Halloween, I was Donatello.
Yeah, my mom made a custom outfit for me in 87 or 88. It was the when they had just brought out the trench coat Ninja Turtles toys. Yes.
Yep.
And I had the Detective Donatello one, and I actually wore that one. It was so much fun. We had the full body outfit, and she went to look for like the trench coat and everything to get it all together. We made a foam bow staff for everything, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, we didn't make a foam bow staff. My mom had an old broom, and she just kind of broke the broom end off of it, like rounded it off, and yeah, it was very, very DIY.
Well, I couldn't take that to school. I had a foam
one. Well, no, but like that was for Halloween that night.
For I gotcha.
I
won a bunch of competitions with that one in school. But I wanted to make sure I had the bow, and so we had to make sure it was foam for that reason. And then there was a couple Halloween contests that I did. I remember the one I did get second place to the guy that, out of metal, built himself a Predator outfit.
Oh wow!
I can't fault the guy for getting. Yeah. I'm like, it you was win. Just incredible. I mean, full. Like he was in a metal shop or something and just built this whole thing and just like, okay, this is cool.
Yep, absolutely. Who are some other cartoon characters you like? Are there any that you hate?
Well, I liked He-Man. Let's see. Megatron, Rocksteady. I mean, there's... When you're talking about it, it's hard to really find ones that I disliked. I feel like they all had a purpose in the cartoons. So it's really hard to find one that I didn't think really fit. There's also your comic relief ones, like Waspinator was always the comic relief.
Yep.
But as far as ones I didn't like... Put me on the spot here, Mike. I'm going to have to think on this for a second. Moving forward to 1990s, I don't remember the year. I did not like Jason from the Power Rangers. Not Jason David Frank, the other one.
You're talking about Jason Lee Scott. You're talking about Austin St. John's character.
Yes. And the reason why, and this is, and it wasn't fair for me. Over the years, I got better on that. But I feel like they screwed Billy over on being Black Ranger or the Gold Ranger or whatever it was that won. And suddenly, he should have been the one. And I've always thought that was just really crappy character writing. And turns out it really was, because there was down the rabbit hole on it. But I remember that when I was like, why wasn't Billy the gold? It was like Black and Gold or something. And I remember
The Gold Ranger was Trey of Triforia, and it ended up also being Jason, because that's who helped them out as far as that goes, as far as I remember from remembering off the top of my head here.
Yeah, they made some excuse that Billy was corrupted and couldn't do it.
No, well, yeah, because he was there was something, yeah, but also it's like, I think one of David Yost, the actor, I think one of his things was he didn't want to be in the suit anymore. I don't remember. I don't want to put words in the man's mouth. He wanted to stay on the show, but he wanted to just be the character of Billy, just have him be like tech support, I guess. But Billy, I don't know if you know, but he's made a comeback. He's in Cosmic Fury. I haven't seen it yet, but that's what I love about Power Rangers and anything that brings back any of the old people that were there before, you know, always, you know, giving it some good respect and that kind of stuff.
So that was the one thing. I mean, I didn't fault, you know, anybody, you know, actor for it. I didn't like the writing back then when I was younger.
That's never the actor's fault. That's the writer's fault.
No, I was like, but he's done so much. Why would they stiff him? And it's like that. And I was just like, it's like, yeah. So that was the character. And it was more from the story aspect, not really necessary anything behind the scenes or anything. It was more just, I was like, why? I'm like, he's worked so hard and he lost his powers. And I was like, okay. Then moving forward to some other characters I didn't like, Dragon Ball Z. I think Boo. I finally got over it later on, but I feel like the Boo saga was really crappy writing. Because it was a giant pink guy that eats everybody, and there was I just didn't really feel like there was much purpose to that. Whereas Cell in the previous one was more serious. The world was coming to an end. Gohan, you know, defeats him and stuff. And there was a reason for Cell. It was vengeance from Dragon Ball when Goku beat the Red Ribbon Army. Boo was so out of place and out of left field. I just didn't like the writing on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to think of another good example of one I didn't like. Honestly, I'm running on the blank there.
All right. Well, who are some of your favorite cartoon voices or voice actors?
Mark Hamill is the Joker, hands down.
Yeah,
James Avery for the Shredder.
Yep.
I'm blanking on his name. The guy that did Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop. He's been in
would be Steve Blum.
Thank you. And trying to think of a few other names on that one. I did like Vic Mignogna for Full Metal Alchemist. I think he did a good job with that voice. And Kevin Conroy as Batman.
Yep.
And Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime. And, of course, I'm blanking on his name, and I feel bad because I really like him. The voice actor that did the original Megatron, and they're
Frank Peter Walker.
Thank you. And I remember listening to an interview with his with Frank Welker, where they talked about the relationship he and Peter Cullen had, and I thought that was really cool. They've been friends for a lot of years and will still joke around in their respective voices.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was cool.
Yeah, 100%. I love those guys. Did you ever own anything based on a cartoon? Toys, comics, coloring books, etc.?
Every He-Man action figure, playset, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I got in a little bit into the Rambo when it was out for a little bit cartoon, the Chuck Norris cartoon. Those were the ones that I really got when I was collecting action figures back then. And it's weird because I don't think about Rambo or Chuck Norris because they didn't last very long.
No, they really did. Chuck Norris and his Karate Commandos, I think, was maybe one season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I barely remember the Rambo cartoon.
Yeah, it was they didn't last very long at all. They brought the toys out. I don't think they sold well or something, and they just scrapped. And I don't think the viewership was sold on it. And it's really hard when you're taking live characters like that from movies or adaptations of stuff and inserting in a cartoon versus the other way around, because Rambo is perceived differently from the movies versus the cartoon. And I don't think it flowed well. And I think that's why they failed.
Yeah. So Karate Commandos, or also known as Chuck Norris's Karate Commandos, it's basically a TMNT season one. It had 5 episodes and that was it.
Yeah.
Luckily TMNT went on to do other things, but yeah, I remember that being such a big thing.
Mask was another one I had.
Yeah, some toys Mask on. Is great. Yep.
I never collected all the toys but I do remember having like the car, and I had the semi and a couple of the other ones, but those were fun back then. So a lot of the cartoons did influence me when I was a kid for buying the toys. I mean, that was a big thing. I remember countless hours as a kid playing with my He-Man or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles growing up. You know, it was always fun playing with the action figures.
Yeah, absolutely. Really quickly, just to round out the Karate Commandos and Rambo animated series. Rambo, The Force of Freedom was a Ruby Spears animated series. It had one season of 65 episodes. So Chuck Norris doesn't rate more than 5 because it was so horrible.
But wow.
Rambo got 64, got basically syndication numbers for one season.
Wow. Okay. That's
that's crazy. That's
different. Yeah.
So very crazy. All right. Let's see. What is your favorite cartoon theme song?
Oh man, you got me a tough one there. The thing is, cartoon theme songs, even in anime, there's so many good ones. There's it's really hard to place one. I mean, like, one that stands out is like the Got to Get Tough Yo Joe season 3 that didn't last very long for G.I. Joe. You had the original Transformers that still sticks in my head. Then it mostly went to anime at that point. It was just like your Dragon Ball Z. Rurouni Kenshin always had some really good intro and outros. But there's so many good ones. And that tells a lot, in my opinion, if the songs are good, how much they stand out, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. How big is your animation DVD or digital collection? Are there any series that you own the entire set of?
Dragon Ball Z. I started getting into it. I would like to expand that, but I don't have the room. Maybe one day if I get a little bigger, I'd love to get all the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'd like to get all the original G.I. Joe Transformers. Get all the collections of a lot of the anime that I used to watch. And even if it was a digital library, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Even if it was, you know, Amazon doing the buy it one time digitally. It'd be nice to just have it all and have it forever because it is timeless. And the thing, I want the originals. I don't want anything edited. I don't want anything changed. I just want what I remember.
And that's... Well, I mean, some of the, I don't know which ones, but I'm sure some of the, like, strangest things with most DVDs, and it's, I don't think animation has this problem, it's more live action, but if when it aired it had the music rights to a song, and then it got released on DVD, and they don't have the rights to put it on DVD, then they have to change the song, so you're never gonna ever really get full... unedited, like there's always going to be something, but most of the time though that happens with live action stuff, not animation.
You are absolutely correct. Bruce Falconer of Dragon Ball Z, fantastic musician, his stuff got pulled, so the Dragon Ball Z box series sets had a different music to it, which honestly wasn't as good as Bruce Falconer, and that was hard for me to get around because his music was so good. I do remember some of the intros for some of the cartoons I did find, you know, online streaming on Netflix or whatever. That changed too. So what you're saying is absolutely 100% correct. The licensing did not carry. And as a content creator myself, we run into that problem too with games where... Okay, the game may have the right to this, but I cannot play that music because it's not part of the deal. So I understand exactly the problem with the packaging when it comes to DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah, it sucks. All right, so you've mentioned He-Man several times. I assume that would be the answer to this, but you can tell me otherwise. Which cartoons had the biggest impact on your life?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles first, He-Man second. Swapped them on you.
Very cool. What was the most money you spent on a cartoon item ever? Example, DVD set, animation cell, a print, etc., etc.
Well, some of those play sets back in the day were pretty expensive. I mean, $60 and $50 for some of those things back in the day was huge, like Castle Grayskull, the complete set, things like that. Mm-hmm. Some of those were not cheap. I mean, money definitely changed from the time in the 80s, but you're still paying $5 for the toy, and then usually the Party Wagon or the Grayskull, you're looking easily, I want to say 40 or 50, so... I think the playsets, the playgrounds for the action figures was the biggest expense.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a my parents wouldn't let me watch cartoon story?
Honestly, nope. My folks were pretty supportive. They didn't really stop me from watching Saturday morning or after school cartoons. The only stipulation was having my homework done.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the reasons why we have that question is because at the time, thankfully she's not my stepmother anymore, my stepmother, I was with her, my dad, we were at her brother's house or something, and we had just finished dinner, and it was like a Sunday night at 8 p.m. in 1989 or 1990, and what comes on Sundays at 8 p.m., you know, that fun-loving... You know, I Caramba Yellow Family, And it was like, oh, this is cool. And one of the, like, Homer said something or yelled something or whatever. And my stepmother was like, you can't watch that. She also did that with Batman. Like, Batman's too violent. You can't. Well, I'm like, oh, my God. Whatever. Like, if I can watch the 66 Camp Pow Zing Flub, I can watch the 90s where it doesn't have that. Anyway. Which cartoon series from the past would you most want to see more of, whether it be a reboot, live-action movie, or any other form of media? So, like, Transformers, like, how would you want to see that more from the original Generation 1 cartoon? We stumped him, folks.
Honestly, leave the timeless classics alone. There's a lot of stories out there. There's a lot of things untold. There's a lot of characters that could be created. We are in the 21st century. We have the internet. We have so many tools at our disposal. There is no reason you could not create a whole new cast of characters, a whole new theme. Is there going to be traces of identity to old cartoons? Yes, that's absolutely a thing. Let's take it back to Lord of the Rings, D&D, all that. There's always something that was taken from the older books, cartoons, comics, games, whatever there is. Nothing is... It's kind of like the Simpson did it meme from South Park. That really is true, that most of the stuff's been done.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you can't create a whole new set of characters. There's no reason you couldn't make a brand new Power Rangers style story that isn't Power Rangers and isn't, you know, based on, you know, their Zords and stuff. There's a lot of different things. I kind of feel like that's the big thing that's missing. Back then, when you're looking at He-Man, G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they were innovative, and there were still very similar things about it. I mean, you're still having the good guys fight the bad guys. The bad guys lose and go home and lick their wounds. There's still a lot of stories out there. It just takes a lot of the right talent to do it.
Mm. Absolutely, absolutely. What is your opinion of the cartoon sidekick, Snarf, Orko, etc.? Love them, hate them, or just don't care either way?
I think they're always good. I think they can add comic relief. They can add some type of value to it, or they can add mishaps or anything to it.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, some of them are okay-ish, others not so much, but for the most part, they're all right. In your opinion, which decade represents the golden era of cartoons and why? 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, or 2010s?
Can you repeat that one more time?
In your opinion, which decade represents the golden era of cartoons and why? 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, or 2010s?
Honestly, I'm going to say 85 to maybe close to 95.
Yeah, 80s and 90s, yep.
Yeah, I feel like it was divided between those two decades is where all the glory days of cartoons was, especially for Western cartoons. I have to preface that because anime started really taking off in the late 90s, early 2000s, I think, in Western culture.
Yeah, without the 80s cartoons, we wouldn't be where we are today as far as all the media and all the toys and all the cool stuff that we have now. Yep. The 80s was definitely a tipping point.
Uh-huh.
Some people view cartoons as something for children and don't view animation as a serious form of media that adults should consume. Who should cartoons be made for, in your opinion?
Everyone. I think there's viable lessons to be told with all the cartoons. A lot of people think cartoons is just for kids because that's what it was originally intended for when we were younger. However, cartoons has also evolved. Point in case, Japanese animation. There's anime, which I still class as cartoons, but
it is, yeah,
that I would not show to a young child at 7 or 8.
Oh no.
No, there's stuff that I would not show. It's more geared to your adults, and I think that's where I noticed my change in my taste became more towards those, because it's like Cowboy Bebop with all the shootings and the fighting and the violence and the graphic, you know, there's actually blood and stuff. I would not show that to a kid.
No.
That there's no way. There is no way. You stick with the Transformers. You stick with the G.I. Joes. You stick with that. Once you get older, animation changes. And there's even darker animations out there. Your hentais, your everything that...
Yeah.
That stuff is definitely geared for adults. Now, granted, you got all sorts of different genres out there, but it's for everybody. I mean, even when you look at it, anime, manga is the fastest growing industry right now.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it is. And that's the thing, like, the kid, whatever age, has to be old enough where you can explain, okay, little Billy, you're going to see this or you're going to see that, and this is good, this is not, this is right, this is wrong. Like, and you can't explain. Some animes just can't be explained to kids that are not teenagers. Like, if they get 15, 16, fun. You want to watch an anime? Go ahead. You know, knock your socks off. Just know it's fiction, and that's not how the real world works.
Exactly. So that's why I believe that there is a tier to animation that you will evolve over time as you get older, from the stuff that we grew up with to the modern stuff, and then to more of the animes, because there's just – they're all good storytelling. But like one of the – so I was 24. My buddy gave me this DVD to watch. It was Trust, Love, and Betrayal, Rurouni Kenshin.
Okay.
I cried. I don't cry to stuff. It was so dark, so sad. And I just remember that was like probably that's where my buddy really got me deeper into all sorts of anime out there. It was the movie based off of Rurouni Kenshin and how he became a manslayer. And it was a romance movie. It was an action movie. There was some gore parts. I mean, there's sword fighting. It's really, he's fighting all these samurai and everything. And it was such powerful storytelling. I'd never seen anything like it before. And stuff like that definitely would never show to somebody until I'd, 18, 19, because it's a good movie, but it's powerful.
Yeah.
And that, but the animation is what I think is so interesting, because we can do so much more than we can do with live action. And if it's a fantastic storytelling, sky's the limit in animation.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we are now entering the Cartoon Fantasy Funland. These are five questions that are... Oh, what did Drew Carey used to say on who... The questions are all made up and the points don't matter. If you could own any vehicle featured in a cartoon, which would it be and why?
Honestly, the mask, the car. So that way I could just fly everywhere.
Oh, the Thunderhawk?
Yeah.
That Matt Tracker has. Yep, yeah. Yep, yep.
It was a cool looking car on its own. Hey, it could fly. So traffic's busy. Yeah, we'll just get a fly away. Yep.
That's right. If you could live in any cartoon world that you wanted, where would you live?
That's an interesting one. Man, you hit me with the hard one, but I'm gonna have to go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles New York City, because that one seemed a lot cooler.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's not as treacherous, because Eternia is not very pleasant. And other ones I think of, like Cowboy Bebop, probably not as safe. And then, I think that was probably the safest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's the safest because the villains are incompetent and the turtles just defeat them every time. Who would be your top three Toon Pals to join you and become a quartet? So you get to pick three other cartoon characters.
Oh, man. Donatello would definitely be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would definitely go with Skeletor, just because it'd be amusing. And the last one would be Cobra Commander.
Wait, what? Why?
Why? just because I can just see, imagine this musical together when you said quartet. Oh, like, oh God.
Okay.
I'm throwing a curveball at you there.
I'm like, wait a minute. I assumed he was gonna pick Shredder again, so Shredder could shred on the guitar. But okay, if he wants Cobra Commander to be the vocalist, sure, why not?
Hello, Cobra. I'm gonna sing you a tune now.
No, I was thinking he'd be more. Well, yeah. That's true.
Drums.
Drums.
Oh, crap. If you could date any cartoon character, which one would it be?
Oh, man. That's an interesting one. Faye Valentine from Cowboy Bebop.
Cool, cool. What is the holy grail of cartoon artifacts? The Sword of Omens, the Matrix of Leadership, the Power Sword, etc.?
The Matrix.
Very cool, very cool. We are now exiting the cartoon fantasy fun land. Final question. What is one piece of advice you'd give cartoon fandom in general?
Take it slow and treasure the timeless classics, because you'll miss them when you get older. And as things evolve and change, and they're not going to have the same punchline or meaning that the timeless classics have, in my opinion.
Yep. Absolutely. Always treasure it, folks. Always treasure it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. We're going to go to a quick ad break, and we're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod. Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
All right, we're back here on Tooncast with Kai. Any final thoughts, anything you'd like to say before I run through the closing?
You know, I'd say it's an honor being on the show, and definitely don't give up on cartoons. They are definitely the key to our imagination, and sometimes it's just a feel good to go back and revisit stuff that you grew up with.
Absolutely, absolutely. You want to give out all your socials and all that stuff for the show and yourself and any kind of social media you want to talk about?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Kai Dragon Media, or X, or whatever. Well, I still call it Twitter or the URL, but it's just Kai Dragon Media. That's my main channel or thing there. I also have a Locals, which usually I just have people ask for that because it's sometimes kind of a pain to find because it's under a whole bunch of things. Or if you go to Locals, you can look under Kai Dragon Media. If you know it's me, you're going to have the red background circle with a dragon. And finally, YouTube, which is where my main hunt is. It is, let me grab it for you. Because I don't ever. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's www.youtube.com/KaiDragonMedia. I forgot. You can just do it that way now.
Yep, Kai Dragon Mania on YouTube. All right, folks, would you like to be on Tooncast Origins episode? Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com with the subject line Tooncast Origins. Guest spot, you must have 1 year or more of podcast experience, have a good microphone, and be on Skype to be able to record. All right, Toonsters, as always, we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email in general to feedback@geekcastradio.com for feedback on this episode or any of the other 300 episodes we've done in the last 14 years. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify, and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on X. It's at GCRN Tooncast and at Tooncast Beyond. I am at TFG on Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio as well for the network stuff. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. And also check out Tooncast All Tunes all the time over there as well. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on something. I don't know if it's going to be an Origins episode with a different guest or if it's going to be a cartoon review, or I have no idea. Not really planning anything at this moment. I've got a bunch of other stuff I'm working on currently. So for now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Kai Dragon Media.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the tune in you.
Check those dudes out. Dudes, nuts. They're robots. Robots? Let's rock!